Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So we have been hearing snippets from Job, and I realize that any book is hard to kind of take out of its context like that, but I'm going to try to pull some of those pieces together today. And the primary thing about Job is that we find out that Job is the person in the Bible to whom bad things happen. His children die, the flocks, he had big flocks that made up his wealth and livelihood, the flocks die, and eventually Job himself is afflicted with disease. And throughout all of this, Job's trust in God remains steadfast. So he's kind of a model. If you don't know the whole story, you probably know of the name of Job as the one to whom bad things happen. Now, keep in mind that the book of Job is a fable. It's not an attempt to describe a real person. But bad things do happen in our world, and some people seem to get more than their fair share of bad things. And the question that we often ask in response to situations like this is, why do bad things happen to good people? You've probably asked that yourself at some time. Now, we're supposed to know that Job is good. He is one of those good people to whom bad things are happening. And Job is faithful to God. He is faithful in all things. We're told that there is no one like him on the earth. He is a blameless and upright man who fears God and turns away from evil. Wow, Job is really good. And Job doesn't deserve the bad things that happen to him. He hasn't behaved unethically. He hasn't taken God for granted. And so if you view bad things, the bad things that happen to you, as punishment for sin, as many people did in that time, Job shouldn't be punished because he has not sinned. He shouldn't be receiving these bad things in his life. And so generations of Bible readers have wondered, well, if we're not being punished, why do bad things happen to good people? Now, of course, that assumes that we are good people, but let's pass on that for the moment. We may or may not be. According to this fable, bad things happen because God allows them to happen. And that's hard to hear. In this story, God and Satan, by the way, is more of a gadfly and a troublemaker rather than the kind of grand lord of evil that some people have made him out to be. God and Satan get into what I can only call a boasting match. God said, "Did you ever see anyone like my servant Job? I've got the best servants on earth, and Job is never going to be anything but faithful to me, no matter what. Ha, 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 I've got the best servant." That's basically what God says. And Satan says, "I'm going to take you up on that. I am sure that I can undermine him." And God allows it to happen. God allows Satan to strip away from Job all his possessions, all his family except his wife, and all his health. And we're told that in all this, Job did not sin or charge God with wrongdoing. Now, Job has some friends who come along and try to figure out what has happened here. They're sure that even though Job has a pretty good facade, he must have sinned in some way. They're sure that he's being punished, but this is not the case. And Job is steadfast in asserting he has done no wrong. He does not deserve what has happened to him. And yet, Job will not turn against God, which everybody expects him to do. And I've heard that kind of attitude called the patience of Job. That kind of trust in the face of bad things. This kind of continued belief that God is good and worthy of being praised despite the bad things in our lives. The patience of Job. Well, I don't think that very many of us can achieve that kind of patience of Job. In the face of bad things, we cry out for reasons why, and perhaps we even turn away from God. After World War II, there was a theological movement that proclaimed God is dead. They had been through the horrors of the Holocaust. They had seen how Jews had been targeted and horrifically killed in concentration camps. And not only Jews, but disabled people and gypsies and homosexuals. And some people felt that if evil could happen in that a great extent, it must mean that God didn't exist any longer. Or maybe that God had never existed in the first place. Because how could a good God have allowed such things to happen as the Holocaust? Now, in our times, innocent people die from a shooting in a synagogue. People die from opioid overdoses. Children are brutalized by their parents and kept in cages. And so when we hear about these things, we too are likely to wonder, how can bad things happen to good people? And how can a good God allow such things to happen? Well, we think that that is the question of Job, and we think that that question should be answered. We have suffered, and we deserve an answer. Well, would you be annoyed or angry or disappointed if it turned out that that was not the question that the book of Job was meant to answer? Because Job does not actually focus on that question, why. Job just wants God to know how bad he feels. And he wants to feel God's presence with him in his pain. Job is good. And by that we mean that he trusts God in all things. And he accepts what happens to him as part of God's plan. That's hard to do. How is he able to do that? How can he be so good? Is he virtuous and faithful and patient all by himself? Does he deserve God's presence by his goodness? Well, Satan thinks that Job is quickly going to stop being good and faithful as soon as he experiences loss and physical pain. And again, that is not the case. Unlike many of us, Job does not give up on God, and God has certainly not given up on Job. You see, from the very beginning, God has trusted Job. God knew that Job would be faithful despite all that Satan could do. God believes that Job can be good and faithful with God's help. And as it turns out, God wants the same thing that Job wants. God wants a relationship. God wants Job's prayers, and God even wants Job's laments. So when God hears Job's prayers and laments his outcry, he responds perhaps not as we might expect. God doesn't respond with what we would recognize as compassion and soothing words. God doesn't say, "I'm sorry you're having such a rough time." But simply, God responds by being God, reminding Job that God has created the mountains and the oceans, big things, little things, things beyond our imagination. Now, I know that many of you in this room, and maybe all of you, have suffered far more than is reasonable. You have suffered in body, mind, spirit, and it is not right. It is not fair. It is not just. And in the face of this, Job may not be the comfort that you need. In this fable about Job, God is the Lord of the universe. God is not apparently here the God who cares about each sparrow who falls. In this story, God is majestic and mysterious and unfathomable. But Job is not the only book in the Bible. Job is not the only way that God reacts to suffering. And there are times in the Bible, such as in the prophet Jeremiah, when God weeps over God's poor people taken into exile. There are times in the Bible when God goes to the cross for us. Now, I will never say that the God of the New Testament is better or kinder than the God in the Old Testament. It is the one and the same God. Sometimes we need to learn about the fullness of God by reading about different portrayals of God with unexpected characteristics, because we can never know everything there is to know about God. Sometimes bad things, terrible things happen to us and to good people, and miracles do not always happen to make things better. However, as your pastor, I have to proclaim that God is always there and that we can trust God to be God. I don't think God is God if we can just manipulate God, if we can make God do whatever we want. God is not God if we expect God to be hovering over us like a helicopter parent, getting us out of scrapes. The main message of Job for us is, we're not God. Bad things may happen and we do not know why, but God will be there, watching over us, trusting us, enabling us to be faithful. And sometimes that happens in silence. Sometimes we don't hear from God. Sometimes God speaks. Sometimes God comforts, and sometimes God challenges. Most of the Bible and the book of Job does not proclaim that bad things that happen to us are God's fault. They are not God's fault. God does not cause the car crash. God doesn't cause the market crash or the tsunami. Many of these bad things, in fact, are because of circumstances that humans have brought about, because we are not, as it turns out, deeply good on our own. When we try to live a Christian life, we know that God alone will make it possible for us to follow Jesus. What makes us good, even what makes us Christian, is not our own doing. It is God's call and empowerment. In this final chapter of Job, Job says to God, "I know that you can do all things, and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted." God can make even us good, like Job, and God can watch over both the universe and the sparrow. Thanks be to God. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.